This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I was just talking with Jimmy, and I will share that we both pretty excited about the opportunity being older players and just understanding how special this feels, and it doesn't happen like this all the time. You know, we've both been through rough seasons over the years. This feels different, so hopefully those guys understand how important the opportunity is and not doing anything stupid that's going to jeopardize their role in that opportunity. You know, Tremont and I and Big Dog and Jimmy, I just think we're asking for guys to do their part and to buy into something. This is optional accountability. You know, you have the option to buy into what we're doing or not. And it doesn't stop when you leave the building. You carry that G with you wherever you go. I hope guys realize that, how important this week is to mentally get balanced and come back and get ready for a tough road trip.
So Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. I love when he says that. You take that G with you. That's something that's on. Now, you guys can speak a little bit more to it. Leroy Butler and Gary Ellerson, our two former Packers here on the Wendy's Big Show, of what that means. And, Gary, you talked about it a lot earlier in the season when we were talking about the mystique of Lambeau Field and changing some different things around the Green Bay Packers. It does mean something different to be a member of the Green Bay Packers than other teams
Packer
in the NFL.
Is still alive.
Man, this thing, but this thing is all different. This thing, what they doing now is, as far as Greg Rollover is Greg right now, I mean...
If you're practicing without helmets on a Wednesday.
Man, what they doing now? They got lights flashing. They got jokers doing a choo-choo train in the end zone.
They're doing that noise on third down.
I mean, I was up yesterday. On Sunday, I was up in the alumni booth for a minute. I met my good friend Gary Ellis up there. And he said, man, it feel like we're Lotharios up in here.
Hey, you can't bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, which would be a club you should go to in Green Bay back in the day. And, yeah, that it's on a whole – this is different. I mean, this is different than McCarthy.
No doubt.
Is different than what it was last year. I mean, it just has changed. Because they weren't doing all the choo-choo train and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
Mike Clemens has been watching it and covering it for just as long as anybody.
1919.
Mike, it's a totally different feel with the Green Bay Packers, no doubt about it. But Aaron Rodgers still pointing it back to that the Green Bay Packers are maybe a little bit different standard than these others.
So, Gary, you're saying that Forrest didn't let you play Prince or Huey Lewis at practice?
At practice? Man, you better practice.
Yeah, you talked about how he would just, with all those celebrations, Forrest would fall over.
Man,
imagine the music.
Yeah.
Well, imagine what he'd see when he heard music being piped in at practice.
Yeah,
every day.
Yeah. And we could play it in the locker room, but it ain't going outside there.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty strong speech from Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You take the G with you. And the fact is, he said that he had talked to the veterans like Tremont and to Jimmy Graham, like, hey, man, that was a good game. We got something going here. We know where we got to improve, but we got to get through to these young guys. You know, this is serious now, and you don't have to win the game for us. He said, you know, there was a feeling in 2010 that maybe we had to win a Super Bowl for Charles Woodson or for Ryan Pickett. And he said, I'm not saying they have to win the game for me, you know, to get me a ring or to get Jimmy Graham a ring, but I am saying, you know, that we got something going here, and we're in the hunt now. Let's not blow it by getting arrested or doing something dumb while you go into a bye week 8-2. Now, we talked yesterday about, it's kind of surprised all these snaps that the rookie Jason Sternberger got after coming back from IR, but he was out doing some blocking, and Jimmy Graham is talking to us now, like we talked about. He got fined $25,000, but he's in good mood and at his locker after the game Sunday night, and we were kind of kidding him. He even joking with us when we joked with him saying, so did you teach Jay Sternberger all your blocking moves?
No, you know, Chase's been working hard. You know, obviously being a rookie and coming and getting banged up at first can be pretty difficult. You know, we just got a good room with a good mix of older and young, and he stayed focused and took care of his body. You know, this team's pretty young though. You know, so when you have a moment like we did last week, coming back from that, and then you know having the performance that the guys had tonight, getting stops when needed, getting turnovers when we needed, and scoring when we had to. It shows a lot and builds a lot of confidence in the young guys, you know, what we're able to do. It's going to do well for us after the bye. You know, we got a bunch of big games coming up. You know, we'll see where the chips fall.
It appears, Mike, that just hearing that and just taking it for what it's worth, it appears that they think that Jay Sternberger is going to need to play a role for them moving forward.
Well, maybe because of Robert Tonyan's still not out there. And even though I see Tonyan at practice, and I thought he was making progress, but he's been out now almost a month with a hip injury. But whatever, you know, they just—it's mm-hmm. it's another weapon. Or if somebody goes down, the guy's got the snaps. That's the brilliant thing. That's what I'm impressed by a first-year coach. He's not all just sticking to veterans. Or Mike Pettine said, "No, I'm telling you, Ibrahim Campbell. This guy was great last year. He's smart. And he put him out there for 40 snaps. You know, his first game back, 11 months after an ACL.
Right.
Because you know they feel he's their smartest, best player to put on there." But you've got all these guys now, whether it's Will Redman, you know, or Shandon Sullivan back in that secondary, they're getting these extra reps. And so they're prepared. If guys start falling down in a physical game, like you saw last night on Monday Night Football, you know, guys from the 49ers leaving, Jadeveon Clowney beating Joe Staley there and getting on their quarterback last night on Garoppolo. That's one of the most physical games I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Outside of with the Ravens beat down on the Patriots, the Ravens and Packers preseason game, we talked about all those linebackers they got. You know, physical football in November, and that's when you start seeing who's going to emerge when you get into the postseason, right?
Mike, we had a conversation about it in a break, and then Gary and I were talking about it a little bit on air during the 3 o'clock hour, that there haven't been games like that where both teams match each other's physicality. Now, the only game that I can think of that was somewhat on par, but really only one team brought that physicality, was the game on Thursday Night Football when the Packers got beat up by the Eagles. I felt like it was just simply one team came and played a more physical brand of football, and the Packers were never able to match it.
And Green Bay took the punches in the mouth the first quarter from that healthy Bears defense, too, week one as well. And Rodgers figured out a way to just, you know, to weather the storm, secure the football.
Yeah.
Got the quick, you know, drive. The defense wanted, he said, hey, we got a defense, and that's what kept them in the game. And, you know, a 10-3, you know, defensive. I mean, they wore out the Bears after three quarters in what I thought was a really smart performance. Mm-hmm. So this is a question I had for folks. I said, so who's Matt LaFleur's best friend on the 49ers? And you would probably say Kyle Shanahan, right, because the two – coach together at so many different stops. He's sort of borrowing his offense. And no, it's actually the 49ers defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh. Also, don't forget his younger brother, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike LaFleur is the passing game coordinator for the 49ers. And so Matt LaFleur was asked, you know, not just because they're your next opponent, which has been flexed up to prime time. I know you guys announced that. You know, do you watch the 49ers just because of the friends you've got there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also have, my brother coaches there too. So I always keep close watch on them as well. I got a lot of friends on that staff and got a lot of respect for what they do. I think they're pretty innovative. Shoot, the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, he's one of my closest buddies in the profession. He's the one that actually got me into the National Football League. So, yeah, I'm always keeping an eye on what they're doing.
Well, Mike, Robert Saleh is going to be a head coach in this league within the next year and a half.
Exactly. Exactly. He's on as fast a track as LaFleur and these other cats. Those two, Saleh and LaFleur, worked together at Central Michigan in 2004. They're both Michigan boys. And then, like, 2 years later, Saleh got onto the Texan staff, at first as an intern, then as an assistant defensive quality assistant. He actually played tight end in his college ball, but he got Matt LaFleur into the Texans and his first NFL gig.
It's incredible to see how these guys all their paths meet and they cross and they kind of change up their styles between all the different factors in their coaching career. And I think it's cool to see Robert Saleh, Mike, at this stage in the NFL where everybody wants to go with the young offensive mind. It's going to be a young defensive mind that appears to be the number one guy on the market this year.
Well, and it's guys like this, they're going to be the competition for Mike McCarthy.
Right, no doubt about it.
This is a 40-year-old coach who, what? He was part of the defensive staff with Gus Bradley for 3 years when you had the Legion of Boom in Seattle before he went and fell to Gus down to the Jaguars gig. So, I mean, he knows what it's like to be on a Super Bowl team, and look what he's done with the intensity of that 49ers defense. And also thanks to, you know, John Lynch and getting guys that are there to, you know, smack people out. I was surprised that when the receiver went down last night, how much that screwed up the offense.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders, when he checked out, they only looked pretty much at Deebo Samuel and George Kittle out last night. The Niners definitely weren't at full strength, but heck of a performance by Russell Wilson, huh?
So, yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, we'll see if those guys can get healthy in time for, you know, in 2 weeks when they host the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Yeah, I know you guys were talking about MVP. I know how they decide on MVP, and it's usually the guy with, you know, the biggest stats, and he's going to go deep into the postseason and all that. To me, personally, most valuable player is, okay, let's say that the NFL has announced that everyone's a free agent, and you've got first pick out of 32 teams. What's the first player you want to pick to build your squad for the next 5 years? I got to, you know, with all due respect to Aaron and to Tom Brady, I got to go with Patrick Mahomes. This guy's out there on a dislocated knee, man. When we were down at Arrowhead for the Packers Chiefs game, he was literally the first guy on the field. With, you know, 10 days after having the dislocated knee, he was out there catching passes for Matt Moore. I mean, he's
incredible, isn't he?
He's got the 70-yard arm.
Yeah,
and the side yard. I mean, if I had to start building a team, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to think about being a winner for the next 5 years. And, you know, if it was J.J. Watt in his prime, I can't think of a defensive player right now that's playing out of his mind. But right now, my first pick would be Patrick Mahomes.
We did Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, and the feeling was that Lamar would just be a little bit more of an injury concern in that sense. But to what you just laid out, for him to be able to play like he does and also be able to play hurt and still be that effective, it's hard to say anybody's going to pass on Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has definitely improved his passing game, but I just, you know, I don't understand why he's playing quarterback. I think he should be a halfback or something like that. I mean, just give him more carries, man.
He's an incredible guy with the ball in his hands, that's for sure. Mike, we'll talk on Thursday, all right?
Thank you, Big Show.
That's Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold reporter, courtesy of Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, gaming, dining, hotel, anything you want. It's all at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, paysbig.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.